Hello, everyone, and welcome to End Credits here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I'm your host, Adam A. Donaldson, and we are back in a manner of speaking. It's, you know, we're still quarantined, the station is still closed to outside visitors and volunteers and people who are not on staff and not making sure that the station functions as per normal, but in an effort to regain some amount of normalcy, we are starting these, let's call them remote, these self-isolated edition of End Credits. And in case you've forgotten, because it has been 2 weeks, End Credits is a local movie show for local movie fans, and we are here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. to talk the latest in pop culture and review the newest movies. This week we're going to do something a bit different, because, well, it's been a couple of weeks. We're trying to get back to the air quote swing of things a bit. We're not necessarily going out to new movies, although new movies still coming out on streaming. As for the movie news portion of the show, well, there's really no movie news to make note of. So this leaves us in quite a kind of a pickle, right? So how do we produce a show when the two things that the show is kind of built on are not necessarily available to us? So we're going to start with this week, which is kind of a way for all of us to catch up and check in and see how we're doing. And it's a what are you watching kind of show. So over the next hour, I will call each of my three co-hosts, and we will have a conversation about some of the stuff we've been watching in isolation for the last couple of weeks. Some of it should not be terribly surprising if you know the individual tastes of our panelists. Some of it may actually very well be surprising. We're trying new things, seeing what's to watch. There are so many options now, and I mean, that's the really interesting thing about what's going on with the self-isolation. You know, those of us who maybe are able to hunker down and not have to focus on work or work from home, unlike me, you know, maybe you have a bit more flexibility to find time to watch things. On the other hand, too, you know, even if you are still working from home, you have nowhere else to go. You don't have appointments to keep or things like that. So you are stuck at home and having to find activities and things to do at home. And a lot of us are turning to our streaming services to find new things or to re-enjoy the things we have enjoyed in the past. So I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm going to get the first of our panelists available up on Skype here. So just hold on a sec. So hello, Tim.
Hello, Adam.
How are you enjoying self-isolation?
All I ever dreamed of. Yeah, I'm just. It hasn't really, because I'm a bit introverted, so it hasn't really cramped my style too much. But it's still a bit weird. Yeah, but trying to watch some films, stay inside, listen to music, just do everything I enjoy doing, right?
Well, that's what the show's about, watching films. So why don't we dig into what you've been watching? What have you been watching? Streaming, downloading, whatever. Hit me with some titles.
Hit you with some titles. Well, I was trying on Netflix, right? But I'm more of a movie watcher, so I'm probably going to start getting into some shows, but I'm not. So it's more movies. So I was watching John Mulaney's stand-up acts, and I thought that's awesome. Like his kid Gorgeous is like one of the best stand-up routines I've ever seen. So I'd definitely recommend John Mulaney. But I did watch the Sack Bunch Lunch special he did a children's special,
mm-hmm.
and I found it quite disturbing.
Why disturbing?
Oh, it was good, but it was just totally random, and he was just asking kids what they thought about death, what would be the most horrible way to die, and stuff like that. Yeah, and I'm really concerned for Jake Gyllenhaal too, because he's really starting to freak me out.
Really?
He's in that movie, or he's in the John Mulaney special, Sack Punch Lunch, and he's just totally insane now. Like, he plays this guy, Mr. Music, and I don't know, you look into his eyes, and you're just like, I think Jake Gyllenhaal, for real, is kind of losing it a bit, so... For this whole crisis, I'm actually a little concerned about his sanity, actually.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, I'm trying to think of, like, some recent stuff he's been in. Like, I'm thinking of, like, Velvet Buzzsaw, which came out, two of us reviewed it on the show. I think it was me and Vince. It was around this time last year. And then, so there's Velvet Buzzsaw, and then before that, it was, like, Nightcrawler. But it's, like, from the same director, so I don't know if that director is maybe a bad influence on Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I like Nightcrawler, but I saw Okja on Netflix as well, which is Bong Joon-ho.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Yeah, the Parasite director, so I watched that, and Jake Gyllenhaal's performance in that might be one of the worst performances I've ever seen in my life. But he's trying to be really satirical, playing a over-the-top animal trainer celebrity, sort of like a crocodile hunter type. But he's just insane in that. I think, I think he's starting to make some weird choices now. But
yeah, Dan Gilroy
helping his career.
Is it, though?
I don't know.
Dan Gilroy was the director of Velvet Buzzsaw and Nightcrawler. It's funny when you think of the, Jake Gyllenhaal was also Mysterio in Spider-Man Far From Home. I forget myself, which is, you know, he's come such a long way because he was like one of those like sort of young guys who people thought was going to be big. Not to say that he isn't big. I think people recognize the Gyllenhaal name, but he was certainly, I think, meant for bigger things, because he was also, mentioned back, during the Raimi Spider-Man of possibly replacing Tobey Maguire at some point. And, as Peter Parker, and then, you know, now he's in this goofy phase, I guess.
Yeah, he's in this goofy, crazy-eyed... I'm just going to be as over the top as possible. Yeah. But it's interesting. But I was a little disappointed by that. But the John Mulaney special, Kid Gorgeous, I thought, yeah, one of the best stand-up acts I've ever seen. So I was checking out some of his other stuff. Mm-hmm. Not quite as good. And then Sack Punch Lunch was interesting. It has David Byrne as a guest star, has some cool music. But I just thought it just went way too random in certain places.
I'll have to ask Peter about his thoughts, because he's like more got his finger on the pulse of stand-up. I think he's mentioned John Mulaney on the show before as someone he enjoys, so you guys might have some interesting conversations around that. What else have you been watching?
I caught up on a couple other movies. I saw Bombshell, which I thought that was a good movie. It was really interesting. It seems really true to life. Like, you could see that taking place at Fox News, like, and there's good portrayals in it. You know, I thought it was a solid movie. It didn't blow me away, but there's definitely some good sort of like true to life performances, and you can see how at Roger Ayers, that's his name, right? Roger Ailes. You can see, how he really took advantage of his situation, and that seems to be the way. And I wouldn't be surprised if stuff still going on at Fox News, the way they run that operation there. But
oh well, it's an interesting time for Fox News. I mean, this gets into the realm of real life, which is we don't typically deal with on the show. But they fired, well, maybe not fired. There's some disagreement on her exact status, but Trish Regan, who is an anchor on not Fox Prime but Fox Business Channel, she was fired or let go or parted willfully because of quote unquote spreading misinformation about COVID-19, which is ironically the same misinformation that a lot of her cohorts at the network were spreading, including her lead-in show, Lou Dobbs, but I digress. I haven't had a chance to watch Bombshell yet, but like the trailers, like Charlize Theron's performance as Megyn Kelly, it's like haunting. It's like Uncanny Valley level. So I'm it's kind of in the back of my head to maybe see about renting that from one of the streaming services and checking it out. But it doesn't. I mean, were the performances good? Because I think that's what's going to sell that movie or not.
Yeah, I thought the performances were quite good. Charlize Theron seems to be, like, in anything she does, she's really top notch. Nicole Kidman was good, and actually, she didn't have as much to do, but as she's sort of like the aging, you know, anchor who used to be like former Miss America, mm-hmm. who used to be somebody Roger Ailes liked to take advantage of, but now fallen out of favor. And she leaves the network and she starts the whole thing in motion mm-hmm. with the first lawsuit against Fox News. So, or against Roger Ailes specifically, right? Because they didn't want to do a lawsuit against Fox News. They want to go right after Roger Ailes. And her performance is excellent as well. And then Margot Robbie is very good. I think her character is a fictional character that was just created for the film. But she does well. And she, yeah, really, you know, the younger one getting taken advantage of. Just a real sort of sick sort of situation. So when you watch it, you don't really feel that great afterwards, but at least you're like, okay, it's good somebody took on that subject matter and took on Fox News, and hopefully somebody who watches that network watches the movie and actually takes it seriously.
Well, it's hard to say how many people at the network, you know, weren't aware of what was going on and, you know, maybe care enough to, you know, poke holes in the system. But yeah, it's, you would think, because I think the fact that Roger Ailes, a lot of these guys, Harvey Weinstein included, a lot of these guys were taking advantage of women in their workplaces, you know, on their own different power trips, is like the worst kept secret in some of these circles. And yeah, I certainly remember on the last show we were going to do before the quarantine, we were going to talk about how Harvey was, Harvey Weinstein was convicted. Seems like forever ago now, but, well, how about something, let me throw something out that I watched, and I was quite surprised how much I enjoyed it, and I was even more surprised that it did not get maybe it got a theatrical release, but it certainly didn't get a big theatrical release, and I find that very shocking. Did you hear about this movie, The Aeronauts? It's Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones, and so they were the two Oscar-nominated, Oscar-winning, in Eddie Redmayne's case, stars of The Theory of Everything, the Stephen Hawking story. This is the tale of a scientist in the 19th century who is trying to prove some of his theories about the weather patterns. And so he hires this female balloonist to take him far up into the atmosphere so he can gather measurements and scientific readings. It's streaming on Amazon Prime, but it is a very beautiful movie. It is very well designed in terms of like the costume design, in terms of the production design, the visual effects, you know, once that balloon gets, you know, far up in the air. And most of it takes place in like the little basket under the balloon, because it's, I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, there are flashbacks and things to Eddie Redmayne being laughed out of British academia, and the Felicity Jones character, she's lost her husband to a ballooning accident, so this is a struggle for her to go up. But it's like, it's really tense, but it's still a lot of fun, and it's lovely to look at. I don't think my TV did it justice. I wish I could have seen it on a big screen somewhere with like optimal picture and sound, and I'm not sure why it didn't get it. I didn't find it all overly daunting either. It's like, I think 100 minutes long, which is kind of a rarity with movies now, to have it just like kind of short and sweet and to the point. But I liked it a lot, and I wish I had had the opportunity to, you know, go somewhere to the galaxy or you know, somewhere with a big screen just to... Because I think that would have been a more immersive experience. Not that the movie isn't good on TV, because I did find it very good, but I think it would have been better served if I had... At least for me, seeing it on a bigger screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's an interesting world now. Like, if movie theaters aren't open for a few months, like, it's going to be a total Netflix, Amazon Prime world at that point, right? Well, so it'll be interesting once it gets back or to as close to normal as possible.
Right.
Are people going back to the theaters? Or is it more... It's been evolving in that way towards streaming as it is. Is it just going to become much more prevalent, or the theater's going to hurt more like a year or two from now,
right,
even when they're back operating again?
It's a fascinating question, because it can go one of two ways. It can go the way of, I have been at home for weeks, I am used to getting everything through, you know, Netflix, Amazon, Shudder, Google Play, iTunes, whatever. So, you know, I am used to this now, this is my life now, this is how I'm going to do this. Or it can be like a reaction that, you know, I can go outside again. Anywhere I can go, I'm going to go, because now I can go outside. And so maybe it's something more like reflexive like that, you know. Now that I know what being hunkered down and not being able to go anywhere really looks like, I am much more appreciative of the theatrical experience and being able to go out to see something, as opposed to being cloistered in my home.
Yeah, for sure. Because I was thinking too, like, Uncut Gems, which we reviewed on the show, is on Netflix. I was thinking I might watch it again. I really liked seeing it in the theater, though. Like, when after I saw it in the theater, it's like, wow, it's such a powerful experience. I think you could have a similar experience on Netflix, but not quite the same when you see it with a group of people too, and you're all leaving, and you're all like in shock leaving the movie theater. That's something that's really cool, and you kind of lose. I know there's like Netflix party and stuff like that, but definitely not the same.
I think we mentioned this when we did do the review. I watched it on Netflix, and I said, like, I can't imagine going to the theater to watch this, because watching it at home, I could like get up and pace as that final scene was playing out. And you can't do that in the theater, but you know, maybe I'm coming around to that too. It's like, I wish maybe I could have had that theatrical experience too, and had that had the immediate opportunity to have those conversations with people and to get those quick takes about how everything went down. But you know, I guess how I'm feeling is just both ways you sort of take in media now have their, you know, validity and have their opportunity and have their strengths and weaknesses. And it'll be interesting to see how people feel once this is over, which way they're going to go. Maybe it'll go to a more balanced media diet. maybe we won't be streaming so much. Maybe we won't be binging so much, you know, once people are sort of allowed to run wild and free.
Yeah. And I still have cable, so I've watched Turner Classic Movies. Sometimes, you know, it's real hit or miss on there, but we watched Elevator to the Galaxy, classic film noir from France. Amazing film. If they show it again, I'd definitely recommend that. Score by Miles Davis. And great. It's a guy who, like, he kills his girlfriend's husband and in this office building. Then he gets stuck in the elevator trying to escape, and he's stuck in there for the whole movie. And then there's this great plot with somebody steals his car with this young punk with his girlfriend steals his car, and he starts on a crime spree himself, and everybody thinks it's the gentleman in the elevator. So it's cool. It's Louis Malle. I think it's one of his first movies. So Elevator to the Gallows, if they ever show that again on Turner Classic Movies, I thought it was really cool.
Well, I think everyone might get to the point where they'll want to start fishing for the classics.
Yeah, well, it's funny on Netflix because the classics, you look at classics and it's like, oh, Pulp Fiction, that's classic, right? <You know?
laughs> Netflix casts a broad net for what they consider classics, for sure. Tim, I'm afraid I have to wrap up our time, but it was nice checking in with you, and we're going to hopefully connect again soon to get some more reviews going, and we'll see what happens as we go along.
Thanks, Adam. Stay well. Stay inside. Wash your hands a lot.
I'm trying.
Would you stop tuning that guitar? You are 105 years old. Tell me exactly what you did with your life to end up here so I don't make the same mistakes.
Excuse me!
But it's springtime, and I thought I might woo a few chicks. No one to watch while we're kissing. No one to see while we spoon. Let's take a trip in my airship, and we'll visit the man in the moon.
Hey! What the heck? Hey, what? What the hell?
Sorry.
Animal House. A reference my ears applaud.
I couldn't resist. Smashing the guitar of someone singing a flowing love song was on my quintessential college experience list.
Your what?
It's a list of everything that movies have taught me comprises a successful first year at college.
Bond with a group of lovable misfits.
Check.
Take on the school bully.
Check.
Make out with the hottest girl on campus.
Check-a-rooney.
So, hi, Candace.
Hello.
And for people who maybe aren't aware of your inner workings, where are you calling from right now, and how are things going for you?
Well, currently I'm calling from my living room, and things are going well. I'm not calling from my office because I'm actually in the middle of redoing it all. I'm taking this time to pull all my bookshelves apart and reorganize them so that I feel like I have something to do in my downtime.
Yeah, I saw that on one of your social media posts that that you're taking the opportunity to do some reorganizing.
Yes, yeah, I bought a third shelf because two was not cutting it. And thank you to IKEA for still taking orders and delivering. And the two people who delivered were very good about it. Lots of physical distancing. And understandably, they were only able to deliver to the hallway. I live in an apartment building. But they did deliver it to my floor, which is great. I was a little worried I might have to figure out how to carry it up the steps myself. But I did not.
Well, that is good news that at least the delivery system is working for now. I don't know if maybe the IKEA delivery people, if maybe these were like the excellent delivery people, and maybe in a different universe they just dumped it on your curb and that's all, and that was that. But I'm glad they went the extra mile for you.
Yeah. And so now I have a third bookshelf, which I built today and have been reorganizing. So currently my office, which is where I normally do my podcasting, because I do have some podcasts, that is not really, there's just really nowhere to sit and set up there right now. So in the living room I am.
Well, we appreciate your sacrifice to do this ad hoc version of the show. So, you know, a lot of people are hunkered down, watching more TV than they might normally. And I mean, we were talking about this before, but you and I are both in sort of the same boat where our jobs are, you know, same as they ever were, I guess. You know.
Yeah, fairly easy to do from home.
Yeah.
Obviously a few adjustments, but yeah. Yeah. Luckily for me, I am still working along at a pretty regular pace day to day.
Yeah, and so am I, come to think of it. So have you had a lot of time to be able to get your screens in, as it were, to do any extra streaming or things? Let's start with maybe what you've been watching.
Yeah, so I have been watching a lot of television. And so we're starting now into week three of whatever we're calling this style of living, I think there's a lot of confusion with people about what self-isolation, what quarantine, and what physical distancing is. So whatever it is we're all doing at the moment, or we're each doing, we're going into week three. But even the week before that, I was starting to spend my evenings at home a little bit more. So I don't really remember when I started some of these things, but I've been watching a lot of TV shows to fill up the time. I found Community streaming, actually on ctv.ca, but it turns out it's coming to Netflix next week, today, April 1st. So Community, I started streaming and have been really enjoying going back to those episodes. Some of the humor is a little dated, or maybe it was that offensive at the time. I don't remember. it's still very enjoyable to watch that.
Do you know if Netflix is getting all the seasons? Because there was the NBC seasons was 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then the 5 and 6 were, I want to say,
Yahoo, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that 1 through 6 was coming to Netflix, so.
Because there were, I didn't watch season 6, but I did watch season 5, and there were some pretty good gems in season 5.
Yeah, I don't think I watched either of the last two seasons. I seem to remember season 4 was spotty at best.
That was the non-Dan Harmon season.
Yeah. I was trying to remember how all that flowed when that happened, but yeah. So we'll see. I'm only in about season 2 by now. So
the sociology season.
Yes. The Chang going a little mad season.
Well, he goes further off the rails in season 3. you're a Trekker too, like me. So have you been keeping up with Picard?
Yes, I most definitely have been. I know some people always complain when shows come to streaming and they're just being released weekly, like a regular old network.
But I like it.
I really love that model.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah, I like being able to watch an episode, have that anticipation for the next episode, think about what happened and what could be coming. And then, of course, there's a lot more conversation, too, that tends to happen around the individual episodes when everybody has to wait a week. So, yeah, I just watched the finale yesterday. I did wait a little bit before watching it. I don't know why. I guess because I wanted to be 100% ready to sit down and watch it.
No, I dig that, too. I didn't watch it Thursday night when it appeared on Crave. I watched it on Friday, mostly because I was a bit concerned where it was going to land. I had some trepidations going into that last episode, and I actually like some things about the last episode, but it left me kind of hollow, too. What were your feelings about it?
Yeah, I was a little... I mean, it's difficult. They introduced... the whole season introduced this massive story with so much backstory, this huge sort of mystery that basically explains an entire species, and then felt like they could wrap it all up in a few episodes, which is interesting. I think there's maybe a lot more that could have been done with that part of it.
Yeah, no, it seemed like everything was sort of backloaded to the end. And one of the things I did like about the final episode is you get a lot of interesting character interactions that we've basically had to wait like 9 episodes to get certain like collections of characters, like the Harry Treadway, Romulan, I can't remember his name. But to get him teamed up with Rafi and the I can't remember the captain's name. I can't remember anyone's name, but
we've only known them for 10 episodes. It's hard to remember people's names.
Some more than others too, right? I really like the cast. It was a really great cast. Like people like San Diego Cabrera, and Allison Pill and Michelle Hurd.
You know, they're really great actors, and it's really awesome to see them bounce off Patrick Stewart, who's still in fine form. Like, he still embodies, you know, so many great things about that Picard character. And it just feels like the show never really gave us a chance to sort of see the ingredients, but, you know, blend together, to see them all meld. And it sort of takes off at the end where it's like, they're a crew now and they're off to new adventures. And it's like, well, I kind of wish that's what the show was. It's one of these cases where you get to the end of the show or the end of the movie and you're like, okay, now this is the story I want to see. This is the story I wish they had been telling all along.
Yeah. And I do think, the crew in particular are just so complex. They're all broken, very broken. And with really, like, interesting reasons why they're so broken.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, if it does come back for a second season, I hope we get a lot more, character stories, which is really what Star Trek is so good with. I think part of that is because Star Trek tended to come out at a time when 26 episodes a season was the norm, which, believe me, I'm also watching Voyager and I'm in season 6 now, and 26 episodes a season is a slog. There's a lot of bad episodes.
Yes.
Each episode is about one character and really, you know, goes into depth about a particular sort of story element of each character. And I think the cast that they've introduced in Picard has a lot of really great character stories, a lot of episodes that can be just all about them.
No, and I agree. And I think this is where kind of we see the culture clash of TV, because I think Picard was built to be bingeable, even though it was released week to week, as you said. But when you do have the, sort of the latitude to come out week to week, you can sort of take a pause, have like a character-centric story, and then maybe pick up the story. I mean, I remember Stranger Things did that in season 2 with the one episode where Eleven goes off and meets other like paranormals like her. And I know people hate that episode, but I actually kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was like a nice break. It's like, we're going to go off and see what's going on in another place. And I think we've lost that thread in TV, that it's so much of it now is just about binge and keeping the barrel rolling down the plot hill. I'm not sure how that metaphor got away from me, but
I think there was a snowball in there somewhere.
There might have been a snowball. Can I tell you about something I've been watching?
Yes.
How do you feel about the Resident Evil movies?
Oh, I don't dislike them and I don't love them. I think I've seen maybe 3 of them.
Mm-hmm. I just finished watching the entire series, the 6 movie series. It's partially, there is like a plot about pandemics and things. I mean, pandemic that turns people into zombies and mutants and things, but still it's kind of relevant. You know, it's a wacky series, because you would think like a series of 6 films, there'd be some sort of like intertwining plot. You're introducing all these characters, all these hero characters. You would think, you know, there would be some sort of evolution, but there's not. There's actually a movie. When you watch all of them back to back, what you realize is there's actually a movie missing between the second one and the third one. Because the second one ends with just Raccoon City being destroyed, but otherwise things seem normal. And then you come into the third one, and the entire world is destroyed, and it's
jarring.
It's a little jarring, yeah. When you watch them back to back, like maybe when you take I think there was a 3-year break between Resident Evil Apocalypse and Resident Evil Extinction. And that's another thing too, is that the names really kind of give you no hint about what order you're supposed to watch them in. So you get Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction, Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil, I can't remember the 5th one, but it's like Retribution. Yes, that's it. Resident Evil Retribution. And then Resident Evil The Final Chapter, which, I mean, tells you exactly where it has to be in the in the sequence, but still, there's four movies in the middle where you have to consult IMDb before you decide what order to watch them in.
Yeah, also don't trust that the final chapter means it's the final chapter, because I'm pretty sure one of the Jason movies was called The Final Chapter, and then there were three more after.
I believe the fourth Friday the 13th was The Final Chapter.
Yep, yeah, that could be, yeah.
And there were six after that. Not counting Freddy versus Jason and the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, final never means final. And indeed, Resident Evil, the final chapter ends with the Mila Jovovich character releasing the cure to the mutant virus. But she says in the voiceover at the end, it's going to take years to go around the world. And in the meantime, she will still be traveling around the world slaying monsters. And that's how it ends, with her riding her motorcycle into post-apocalyptic New York, and some mutant sort of flying over her, ready for a fight. So there could very well be Resident Evil, A New Beginning, at some point in the future. I guess it depends if Mila Jovovich needs a new
garage or something.
Pair of shoes?
Or something.
Or if it's her husband who makes those, right?
Yes.
Paul
W.S.
Anderson?
Yes, not to be confused with Paul Thomas Anderson. Quite right.
Yeah. I will say, I did watch, just yesterday actually, I watched A Woman Walks Home Alone at Night. And I 100% recommend it to anybody. It felt so like 90s, that like Linkletter version of 90s like slacker movies.
Mm-hmm.
Black and white, you know, all in Farsi.
Yes, that's it's an Iranian movie, isn't it?
Well, it isn't actually an Iranian movie. So Anna Lily Amanpour, who made it, is she has moved to America. She was born in the UK and lives in the States. And I'm not even sure necessarily if she's been to Iran, but she is Iranian. And then all of the actors are of Iranian descent. But it was 100% filmed, written, made in California.
Okay.
It's a Hollywood movie. Well, not Hollywood, but
it's Hollywood adjacent.
It's indie, but yeah. So it's an American made film, but it's just all like in Farsi and with Iranian actors, and, you know, presumably has some like social relevance to what is going on in Iran too. You know, they don't really make a big point of the sort of more political statement about the gender divide that's happening there and what women aren't allowed to do. But it's still there. Like, it still sort of seeps through the whole film. But it's just this like really weird, visually stunning story about a vampire.
And it's on Shudder, right?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on my watch list on Shudder for sure, so I might have to check it out now. Well, Candace, it has been a lot of fun getting a chance to talk to you, even if it's just over screens. And unfortunately, I have to wrap up our time because I have our other two co-hosts to get on the phone here. But hopefully we will get a chance to talk more about movies in the future, telepresently or not.
I am always here, ready and waiting.
In your living room.
In my living room. Maybe in my office next time.
What you are looking at?
Yes.
Is a genuine relic that supports the actual truth, which is the South.
Mm-hmm.
Won the war.
Okay. The South won the war?
That's right. This is something you want to keep under your hat till you're ready to
seems like pretty big news.
The best way to do this is through concrete evidence.
Is this antique roadshow for racists?
Up to $50,000.
God.
What's the deal?
70-30 sounds fair to me.
Don't, please don't touch.
I can't touch the tag.
Don't touch the tag.
Honey, 70-30, is it 70 for us?
No.
No deal.
30 for us. No deal.
They're going to be out of the office on this because the word's out.
Word's out.
Came here looking for something.
Uh-huh.
Heard you have it.
Can we narrow it down a little?
Looking for a sword.
All right.
A sword.
Why was that so hard?
It wasn't hard.
Why did we have to take that route to get there?
30 seconds to get there. Wasn't that long.
All right, Peter. It's good to hear from you again.
Good to hear from you as well. Good to be back on old end credits.
So how have you been, how have you been doing in all this? You are probably the most affected of our panelists because you've had to change your school routine. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I did. Luckily, I'm in history where it's all writing, so I just got some pushes on the Dropbox assignments.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling bad for the people. I know they're having to do Skype classes to still discuss and talk with the prof. I as a history just got more sit down time, which is, I'm okay with that. But I do feel bad for the UG students as a whole.
Is this your last semester? Am I remembering that right?
I have next year too. Not the full year, but no, I still got a couple courses, and then I am done.
Okay, so at least, I don't know if you heard, but they postponed convocation for June.
Yo, I know. That is my partner. She just doesn't get to go to that as well. No, I'll probably have it, luckily. And the worst is OCAD shut down their final, and their final allows people to, get money. They pick one artist in the final. So, yeah, I'm okay. But as a whole, it's just it means more than it is. Here it's just you don't get to wear one of those caps. But in other places like OCAD, it's a huge effect.
Well, we should say for the record that people will get a chance to walk across the stage at WarMem. It just will be in September, I think they're talking about it. It won't be in June. But I mean, at that point, everybody's sort of flitted off to wherever they were going after undergrad. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it's just the timing. Timing is it's off, and it's a real effect. Some people, wanted to travel, and some people weren't going to be here, and that now posted date. So
yes.
I, as a UG student, am very okay.
All right, well, that's good to know. Let's talk about what you've been watching. Let's talk about what you've been enjoying in your downtime when you're not still studying history.
Why? I'm doing a lot of writing, so sometimes I'll still have that TV going, right? I don't know. I'm more used to movies. TV, I watch so much. Currently airing shows, The Conners. The Conners, Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, and good old Curb Your Enthusiasm are my current airing ones. But for this right now, because of coronavirus, I feel a little bummed. So good old meditation helps me, and that's sitcoms galore. So I just want to give a shout out to CHCH. Thank you for continuing to show all those beautiful sitcoms. So yeah, I've just been watching a ton of Three's Company, Who's the Boss, Good Times, Taxi, The Facts of Life, and Terry Crews, Phenomenal. Are we there yet? So yeah, I've been watching a lot of sitcoms. It just makes me feel better,
Yeah, the classics.
Current shows as well. Yeah, classics. I'm watching them classic.
do you have a favorite of the classics?
Oh, of the classics? Oh, man. I would say Three's Company is the warmest. But I think, weirdly, Who's the Boss is my favorite. Angela is just phenomenal and such a strong female lead role. And I love that Tony Danza. Critically, I'd say Taxi. I'd say with some Andy Kaufman like that, and some Hirsch, it's perfect. So yeah, I would say Taxi's the best, and Three's Company is my favorite. Yeah, and anybody listening, if you like CMT Channel, it literally plays Three's Company 24/7. So yeah, I know there's a lot of 16 and 17 year olds and stuff stuck in their house, right? So I think it'll be like me, very meditative. It's just good times. Oh, and then also Good Times, Phenomenal. JJ, man. Oof.
I was waiting for you to make the connection. Does Does Three's Company hold up? Like, I mean,
No, it's a little dated. I say it's still enjoyable for some, but no. The Ropers, there can be some. There's a lot of like, he'll jingle like a bell, like he'll do that kind of hand movement.
Right,
a little homophobic nowadays. So yeah, the female roles are totally fine, actually quite strong, but it's more there's a pinch of what could come off nowadays is a little homophobic. Yeah, so no, I'd say it's a little dated. I'd say I'm glad it's still on TV, but yeah, it's a pinch dated.
And
but Good Times holds up hardcore, and so does Who's the Boss and such.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear.
And there's been movies too.
Okay, yeah. Talk about some of the movies.
I have been trying to watch some ones that I have missed. And I missed Phantom Thread, so I finally catched that on Netflix. And I'm a mumblecore guy. I'm gonna be trying to support female directors more. So I watched Sword of Trust on Netflix. I don't know. Have you heard about that one?
No, talk about Sword of Trust. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's directed by Lynn Shelton. She's like a mumblecore director, a lot of good works. And it stars Marc Maron. And it's just him running a trade store. Not a trade store. Like, what's the one downtown that you sell? A pawn shop.
He runs
shop. Yeah, and then the titular female character, Jillian Bell. She has a father die, and her father's got some old Civil War stuff. He was on the bad side, and she tries to sell it off, and then it turns out it's like worth millions for, you know, some conspiracy kind of skinheads, and then they just, yeah, bring it to them. They just bring what she got from her deceased relative, and they just bring it to the rich racists that want it. And it's just the drive. It's a lot of discussion, a lot of back and forth, and yeah, it's a mumblecore, so it's really just a lot of talking, but it's really well done. A lot of discussion about homophobia, abuse, and a little subplot of drug addiction. Yeah, so I'd say anybody who likes mumblecore should check it out, or just likes the Marc Maron.
So it's not a comedy.
No, it's got some comedic elements, but no, it's just a straight up, yeah, drama. Yeah. Yeah, Marc Maron, he's just as good as that. So, yeah, I'd really recommend that. It got phenomenal views, too, and anybody who cares about that, I think 98. And yeah, strong female directors, strong female roles, and a mumblecore. It's got everything that I'm currently trying to support.
It checks all the Peter boxes.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And Phantom Thread was, it was good, too.
Daniel Day-Lewis's last role, supposedly.
His very last one, yeah. And my girlfriend despises him. So she, I had to spread it out over a few days when she wasn't around. But yeah, it was good. I don't love him either, but I thought his role in this was great. And did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I know it is on Netflix, though.
Yeah. What was her name? Sorry. Vicky Krapes. She was the main female, and she was... she was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And my worst Phantom Thread, anybody listening, is that it was boring. And there were some boring parts, but there's some more interesting things going on than you think. There's some, just the back and forth between Daniel Day-Lewis and her, there's some interesting things that go on. So yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody who's a Paul Thomas Anderson fan, or Daniel Day-Lewis.
And she was practically unknown before that role, so
she was, yeah, like, yeah. pretty fully. Yeah, I'm curious to see. I haven't like checked up on her, but I hope she's doing good. It'd be cool to see her in some major cinema.
Yeah,
future Paul Thomas Anderson, that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, I don't know what he's working on now, if he's working on anything right now. But.
I also recently, Fiona Apple, right?
I know of her.
Yeah, she released a thing where she says when she used to, she briefly dated Paul Thomas Anderson, right?
Yes, famously.
Yeah, apparently he does a decent amount of like cocaine and stuff, so... Yeah, it's like a big, anybody listening at Fiona Apple, there's an article about it. She talks about Quentin Tarantino too. Yeah. I was like, oh man, he does a ton of cocaine. Yeah. And then I just started thinking about him, and then I thought of Phantom Thread, and then I watched it.
Didn't she do like a concept album or something for Magnolia? I seem to remember that.
Oh no, that wasn't, her. That was, Amy Mann.
That's right. Amy Mann.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know you were, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
You know what? I think I bashed Magnolia in the one end credits. I've thought more about it, and like I get the absurdity of the ending. Like it attaches it more to the Victorian and medieval stories they tell about. I don't know, but yeah.
All right.
Talking about Paul Thomas Anderson, I want to say Magnolia was good.
All right, you're forgiven. I've been playing some catch up too. Although unlike you, I've been finding some comfort in horror movies.
Yeah. I've got a lot of friends like that for sure.
Well, not necessarily Contagion. I know a lot of people have been watching Contagion. It's like in the top 10 on.
I watched it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
I'm not sure how.
It was whatever.
I'm not sure how many people find it, you know, actually engaging so much as maybe they want to watch Gwyneth Paltrow die horribly, but. One thing I will recommend, I did take it a bit too far. I rewatched The Day After, which is this TV movie from, I think, 1983, 84, but it's about, like the what happens after a nuclear war between Russia and the United States, and it's not comforting to watch Jason Robards and Steve Guttenberg slowly die from radiation poisoning. It's really hardcore, so, I mean, if you're looking for, like, the far end of, you know, disaster drama, like, don't rewatch The Day After. I did watch the third Annabelle movie, Annabelle Creation, or not Annabelle Creation, Annabelle Comes Home. Yes, Annabelle Comes Home, and it's, like, a weird sort of Conjuring 2.5, because it's got the Warrens in it. It's got Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga as the Warrens in it. Although the story mostly involves their daughter who's left at home alone with the babysitter and one of the babysitter's friends, and they accidentally wake up Annabelle.
I think I saw the trailer for the third one.
I actually enjoyed it. I think it was one of the better Annabelle efforts. I thought it was pretty solid.
Well, yeah, it gets good mention.
Yeah, so I like that. I also watched, and this is on Netflix, Overlord, which is like is produced by J.J. Abrams, but it's like a World War II thing on D-Day. It's about a group of paratroopers who are sent to take out a radio tower as the invasion begins, and they accidentally uncover Nazi experimentations, creating like weird, freaky stuff, let's say. And
is it the one that stars Wyatt Russell?
Mm-hmm, yes. It's a lot of unknown, like or people you don't necessarily recognize. Probably the most famous person in it is the actor who plays Fitz on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. Well, and Wyatt Russell, just because I mentioned him in the show, he's like the main guy and everybody wants him, right? He's the, well, I don't want to spoil it, but he's the stoner one.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to spoil the big surprise of the film.
Well, it's a Richard Linklater film, so it's not a surprise that there's a stoner character in it.
Yeah. No, I know, but you know, is he their age? Is he not? You know?
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. I only seen it the one time, but you're right. And then here's another one I wish we had the time to do on the show, or maybe the time to revisit fully. Dr. Sleep, the kind of sequel to The Shining. Did you see it?
I really wanted to. I was dying to. I was part of the problem. I didn't go see it. And I remember it got like phenomenal reviews. It got like a 78. But what I thought was really cool is it's like a straight up sequel, right?
Yes. Well, it's
there's some footage of the house.
Well, they recreate the overlook for the climax.
Yeah. See that? I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, it's of course Stephen King famously hates the Kubrick Shining, but it's weird because it's kind of it's a sequel to the book, but it in the movie it's also very much a sequel to the movie because for people who don't know, at the end of the Shining book, the overlook is destroyed. But at the end of the Shining movie, Danny and his mom get away, and presumably, you don't know for certain, but presumably the overlook stands, and you do see that in the movie, that Danny goes back to the Overlook for the climactic final battle against Rose the Hat, who's played by Rebecca Ferguson, who has confirmed that she's great in everything.
isn't like the Scatman's granddaughter in Doctor Sleep or something?
I don't know if it's ever identified as that she's his granddaughter. But you have Carl Lumbly doing a pretty good imitation of Scatman Carruthers in it. And you have Henry Thomas doing a kind of impression of Jack Nicholson, too, which is it's wild.
Are viewers going to have to pay for Dr. Sleep or Netflix? Or?
Presently at the moment, you can rent it on the Google Play and iTunes and things. I don't know if it's coming to streaming anytime soon, but I think it's actually worth $4.99.
iTunes?
Or Apple, the Apple Store.
Okay.
Whatever.
Never heard of iTunes, but yeah. Yeah. I just want people to continue to support the beautiful work. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
And watch the classic sitcom, CHCH. Favorite channel, best Canadian one. And I'm including CTV there. So yeah. Thank you, CHCH.
All right, good enough.
And that is it for this week's show. We hope you liked catching up with everyone and getting some good suggestions about what all you can now watch on streaming. Next week when we're going to try something closer to a normal show, we're going to have a full-length review and then some additional side project things of mine that we're going to try, like maybe some lists or some kind of further analysis, or maybe we'll play some more music. I don't know. It's kind of all up in the air. As I said, we're experimenting with the form as we go along, and we'll see how long we have to keep hunkered down like this. It could be a couple of weeks still. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, if you like the show and you want to listen to it again or listen to any of our past episodes, you can find them on our website, endcreditsradioshow.com. You can download us on the Guelph Politicast channel every Friday at Podbean, or you can get it through your favorite podcast app at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We're on social media, on Facebook at End Credits Radio Show, and on Twitter at End Credits Radio. And I will also be, I'm still on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. for News and Politics and Open Sources Guelph with Scotty Hertz. And you'll be able to listen to that at the usual time tomorrow to get all your COVID-19 news and politics updates. In the meantime, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Adam A. Donaldson, or you can go to GuelphPolitico.ca to find more news and politics there. And stay tuned for more great programming here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio, still here, still broadcasting, still local, and End Credits will be back next Wednesday at 2 p.m., and we will see you then.